Gardner. I'm a program manager in the Azure Customer Advisory Team. I'm based in Singapore. Most of the rest of our team, Microsoft has a team, I cover this a little bit later, of people doing the porting of SAP applications to Microsoft platforms. Most of us are actually based in SAP's headquarters. SAP has some other people based in our headquarters. And all of us, we do the escalation support, development support for SAP, which is why I have a SAP email address. I'm not an SAP employee. I've been in and around working with SAP for about 20 years. I used to be a Unix and DB2 and Oracle person before Microsoft days. Eventually, I was running a large SAP project, which switched to the Microsoft platform. And after that project, Microsoft hired me to do the job I do today. So I've been at Microsoft about 8 years. These are the only marketing slides in the presentation. They wanted me to include some. So I'd step back a level and say my manager, the person who really started the whole Microsoft involvement with SAP, this really sums up his philosophy, and he's still in place until today. So simplified, this has always been the objective with the Microsoft port of SAP applications. Clearly, we have had a lead in TCO since a long time. Most of the SAP infrastructure used to run on expensive Unix platforms. It was Microsoft who pushed Intel platforms to a larger extent. We are very active in the certification and benchmarking of our solution. So if you check the SAP benchmarks that are out there, you'll see we've got quite a number already released, SAP benchmarks on Azure. And support, I'll talk a little bit about that. Very important topic for customers and partners. There are two supported cloud platforms for SAP today. Who can name both of them? Very good. Our friends over at AWS. Come and grab a bag. One of my former managers is actually over at AWS. So one of the important points in building a cloud platform for a mission-critical application is support. So you mentioned Amazon. So sometimes we have customers who are running SAP application on an Oracle database with a Linux version from Red Hat or somebody on Amazon, which is a Zen hypervisor at the end of the day. I do escalation support. Those of you who are familiar with SAP know OSS messages. I'm the person doing the support, and I can tell you it's very, very difficult to support customer systems with an application from SAP, a database from Oracle, an operating system from Red Hat, and Amazon and their Zen hypervisor. On Microsoft platform, our objective is to support all operating systems and databases, so Windows and Linux. We already support a couple of databases, but if customers choose the Microsoft option, they have the SAP application, the database from Microsoft, the operating system from Microsoft, and the cloud platform from Microsoft. So some CIOs find this attractive because if there are any problems, they say Microsoft, go fix. No more discussion, fix it. So a little bit continuing on this theme. We've been a little surprised how you customers have used Azure. This scenario here, a lot of customers, SAP customers, particularly the larger customers, have got old SAP systems that are no longer in production, but they must keep them because the tax office, the regulatory framework means you can't just throw away the system. So one common use of SAP on Azure is to keep archived systems, very, very common. Typically, the customer will migrate it off Unix, Oracle, Unix DB2, and there's some very, I mean, we have, you know, 10 terabyte archive systems running in SAP. Now, I think the last speakers covered this point with Azure. You pay per minute. So that customer changing from AIX DB2, they do not buy SQL Server licenses. They get a virtual machine which comes with SQL Server bundled, and they just start the system up maybe once a month when they need to get some data out of it. Total cost of ownership. This is particularly for customers with larger landscapes and particularly larger non-production landscapes. Because many of them are scheduling the startup and shutdown of their SAP landscapes, the cost savings, it's far cheaper than any internal IT or any hoster can ever charge the cost on Azure. So, for example, some customers' training systems, they run them 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. 5 days a week. And that is way below the cost that anybody else can do this. This one here, when I was a basis SAP consultant, I made a lot of money out of customers where I would come to your office at $1,600, $1,800 a day, and you customers would not be ready. I made a lot of money in the 90s and 2000s doing this. With Azure, if you need more space, if you need more compute, more storage, it's done. Not good for the consultants. So through this presentation, we're going to focus on three main vectors: non-production, production, and disaster recovery scenario. This is one I've done quite a bit of work with, Azure Site Recovery. Anybody who sees I'll do a little demo on Azure Site Recovery. Anybody who wants to know more, my colleague will be doing, a chalk talk tomorrow on Azure Site Recovery. So I'd recommend attending this. So non-production, SAP landscapes, from what we see with the larger customers, I'm talking Coca-Cola, these BHP, Billiton, Rio Tinto Mining, these larger customers, if you add up the CPU, the RAM, and particularly the disk storage in non-production, which one's larger, production or non-production? Non-production. Particularly with the larger customers, their non-production landscapes, and particularly on storage, but on CPU and RAM as well, in aggregate, non-production is larger. So many customers, name brand customers, I think we'll have some PR coming soon, but KPMG are a customer who's moved all of their non-prod SAP to Azure. For their production, I think eventually due to some regulatory reason, they keep this on Hyper-V, but their non-production is all running on Azure. Production, I will go through the customers that have moved everything. Now, the pattern we see with this is customers who take their whole data center and move it to Azure. And one of the applications in their data center just happens to be SAP. So we do have larger customers with complex SAP landscapes. So I'm not talking about somebody mentioned our friends at Amazon. If you look at the public case studies from Amazon, the vast majority of them are SAP Business One, which is something I've never actually personally touched, which is the low-end entry system SAP have. I've never worked with it. But we do have large, complex customers with components like supply chain management, Live Cache, ECC, BW, all running on Azure. And this runs well. Disaster recovery, I'll do a little demo, but Coca-Cola, for example, the cost of their disaster recovery data center eventually running into tens of millions of dollars. Microsoft provides you a really robust data center with very good protections in terms of physical, power supply, security, all of those infrastructure Microsoft is providing. And if you use the Azure Site Recovery tool, the VMs running in Azure are shut down. When a VM in Azure is shut down, do you pay for it, yes or no? No. So this is one of the most cost-effective DR solutions. There's a nice little benefit as well, is you can orchestrate. Some of you would be familiar with VMware and SRM and how you can orchestrate failovers and shutdowns and startups, runbooks. Azure Site Recovery provides the same functionality as this. You can orchestrate your failover, so you can make sure your Active Directory starts up first before your SQL Server or before Oracle starts up, because if it doesn't, the service account might not work. So I'll try to do a little demo on that. So what have we done with our SAP partners today is infrastructure as a service. So everything I'm talking to you about today is IaaS. Now there's some very, very preliminary discussions around some things like business objects, maybe, moving up this stack and to platform as a service, but we're only just beginning this discussion. So today everything is IaaS. Any questions so far? Sorry, so I think the question was, do you want to restate the question?
Hello, I'm sorry. I was asking that since we are now going to talk about the IaaS thing, together with the SAP. So my question was, if IaaS is going to be considered, and since Amazon is pioneered in IaaS, so why should customer go for the Azure then?
So if you're given the choice between Azure and Amazon, why would you choose
Azure? To bring SAP workloads onto Azure. Actually, yep. this question been asked to me by one of our customers. So,
yeah, yeah.
So that's I was really
and a very good question. So part of that would be, I touched on support before. So myself, I'm one of the new person to join the team, and I've been here 8 years. My manager has been working 18, 19 years. There's several people in the team who are near 20-year mark. Microsoft people working with our SAP partners. Support is important. Ongoing support. And that would be the factor, I think, that has made large corporate organizations choose Azure above Amazon. So, does SAP run on Amazon? Is it certified and supported? Yes, absolutely. But if there is a problem, if I need support, how long has Amazon been working with SAP? 2 years? 3 years? How many former SAP consultants does Amazon have working for them?
Sorry, I'll say, correct answer, it should be your answer is correct. How easy it is like this issue to understand what is the database there. There are two scenarios, right? If you have a customer who you are migrating SAP to cloud and he has an Oracle database, right?
Maybe can we pass the microphone so I...
Yeah, man. See, the answer which you gave of support is fine, but AWS will have its premium support as well. That can't be a differentiator. The differentiator which we have done, so I do massive EPG scale migrations of SAP on cloud on both AWS and Azure. Azure has a unique proposition if you're migrating on-premise SAP to cloud and you have Oracle as a database. Oracle is not certified by SAP to run production workloads for SAP on AWS, which is certified for Azure. On the other hand, you have DB2, Sybase, Informix, all of that. So that is a great winning proposition. If the customer has Oracle, you must put it on Azure.
The Oracle topic is, Oracle say very clearly, and SAP say very clearly, that they don't support this. And Amazon are stepping up and saying, well, actually, we support this. As an engineer who does escalation support,
Amazon may say that, but there is no official support of SAP. So I do migration of, say, 30 SAP migration of workload on mission critical servers, right? You need SAP certification. SAP has not certified Oracle for AWS for production workloads. SAP has certified Oracle 11G release 2 patch set 3 for Azure. That's the classic technical difference.
This is correct. However, I've been in this space a long time. I know there are multiple customers who are actually running their Oracle SAP system in production on Amazon. They tend to be smaller customers. It wouldn't be a large corporate that the kind of customers we have. They're very smaller organizations, and they're running. Quick question. SAP HANA, can you hold that question? Because I have a slide coming up. It's a very common question we get. So, I apologize if the people at the back read this. So, SAP Business Suite is certified today on Windows, on SQL Server, on Sybase, and on Oracle on these VM SKUs. Other components like T-Rex, other components like business objects will be released in a week or two. The certification roadmap over the next 3 to 6 months, expect to see things like DB2, expect to see things like Linux, SUSE Linux first, other Linux varieties later. But our team's objective is that we should be able to support most SAP customers. So obviously the Unix customers, you know, that's dead technology. Nobody's investing in that. They need to do a migration. For some strange reason, one of the last countries in the world where Unix seems to sell is India. We can't figure out why.
So I will just basically touch on the point that you're mentioning, right? So I do migrations. So only thing which sells is HP UX and EIX. The reason which it sells is they do a complete package deal. So that even if you have running SAP on-prem on AIX, right, you get the disaster recovery free of cost, which is basically VSR of IBM. So for, there's a technical, non-technical reasons for that. But sir, I have one question which I often get across CIOs of EPG customers asking us is, there is a reason why customers, technical reason, not non-technical reason, technical reasons why CTOs of Fortune companies prefer running SAP on Linux operating systems. So SLES, right? SLUSE Linux Enterprise Server or Red Hat. It has something called Oracle Linux, has something called Huge Pages Extension.
I could provide a list of 200, 300 large Fortune 500 customers who are running on Windows. But I think this is a Windows discussion.
Azure, my question is very specific.
Azure, we plan to support both.
But certification, do you have any timelines as to when we can get certified on Linux? That's my question. CIOs ask me this question very often. I lost two very big deals this question.
We will support Windows and Linux equally. Those of you who are familiar with SAP benchmarks and SAPs, there are some additional benchmarks I can tell you. The three-tier, those of you who are familiar with SAP will know what three-tier is. Three-tier D13 benchmark is already about 90,000 SAPs. The three-tier D14 is well over 100,000 SAPs, which would be the vast majority of customers in India would be able to run their production systems on Azure. A note down here, probably my colleagues have covered provisioned I/O, our premium SKU of storage. So for these more powerful virtual machines on Azure, you need to use these. We are actively working on our G5 SKU, and G5 is a SKU that is going to be used for HANA Enterprise. More on HANA coming up. Any questions on this slide? If anybody wants a copy of this, just bring me a USB disk after the session. Okay, is that a bit better? So I spoke about our SAPs numbers. Expect G5 to be in two-tier at least 60, 70,000 SAPs, if not substantially more. So I mentioned SAP benchmarks on Azure. So you can see these. And we have many more coming with our D-Series and our provisioned I/O. So I touched on support. Sometimes customers want us to give quite a high degree of visibility on exactly how we work with SAP. I've been at Microsoft working with SAP, focused on SAP 8 years, and we have never done as much co-work with SAP as we're doing now. So for 20 years, we've been working with SAP. It used to be constrained to Windows, SQL, Hyper-V, System Center. Then along came public cloud. we have the team that I'm a member of inside the Azure Customer Advisory team. So we are actually, I've worked inside a number of different organizations in Microsoft over the years. I used to be part of SQL Server development. We're now in the Azure Customer Advisory team. Majority of our people are located at SAP's headquarters, and SAP Labs USA are located in Building 25, which is the Azure CAT building in Redmond campus. We have dedicated system engineers. Some of you would have premier field engineers. These are SQL Server PFEs who are dedicated to supporting the SAP customer base. About 6 months ago, we got a DSE for Azure support. So inside SAP headquarters, there's a Microsoft Azure and Hyper-V dedicated support engineer. Objective, if we come back to the first slide, is to keep this simple and easy and a seamless support process. This is probably something we do a bit better than our Amazon colleagues. And as I said, I'm one of the junior members of the team. All of the people have been in their current job for a long, long time. Just a point about Windows, it's more than 55% of the world's SAP systems run on Windows. That number is increasing. Microsoft itself is a large SAP customer, and the performance and reliability issues that were with the Windows 32-bit platform more than 10 years ago, these have been eliminated. Recently, I released a SAP note just for the SAP consultants amongst you. I've released this note about a week ago. I'll summarize the note. If you're running on Windows 2003, stop it. Immediately get rid of that operating system. That's what the note says. Windows 2003 is such an old operating system, you should not be running it. For the people who are a bit familiar with SAP, the note number's there. You might also want to take a note of 192.8.5.3.3. That's where we document the virtual machines that are supported. So that's 192.8.5.3.3. And if anybody can't access SAP notes, just send me an email or send your SAP partner an email. They'll download it as a PDF. A more general one that's worth reading is 1380654. Now, a few customers who are running SAP on Azure. We're going to drill into Cordia and Zespri. Foodstuffs was a large supermarket chain that moved their AIX DB2 about 5 or 8 terabytes, a shutdown archived system. That's moved to Azure as of a few weeks ago. And KPMG. Now, a very popular question is, what about HANA? So at a very high level, HANA is about the most unfriendly application imaginable for public cloud that you could ever build. But we are starting, so after my trip here in India, going directly to electricity and gas customer in Australia. This customer is our pilot for HANA on G5. So we will build in conjunction with my SAP colleagues. They will mobilize some resources. We will build a 8-node HANA scale out in Melbourne next week. This is the very first customer deployment, so we expect this to be a very valuable learning. And in due course, for customers here in India who have a sufficient skill level and sufficient methodology and process within their own organization, we would be happy to look at some pilots here in India. Talk to your Microsoft local folks if you want to do this. You would need to be a customer with a higher level of skill on SAP, on HANA, and Azure. If you know nothing about all three, then we have to prioritize customers who do. So use cases of Azure, we've touched on this. So provision and deprovision landscapes, so things like training systems, things like project systems. You start a SAP upgrade project. You start putting SAP support packs in. Maybe you want to clone your SAP development or QAS system. Azure's really, really quick and easy to do this. And when you're finished, you deprovision and you stop paying for this, all except the storage, which is very, very cheap. Okay, enhance, save, and test enterprise-grade disaster recovery. Over the years, I've done a number of live presentations during events like this. So what I've got here is a virtual machine which is running on Hyper-V. I will log on to this. And just to prove the point, can someone, non-Microsoft employee, tell me some text or some words to enter in here? Any words, any text? Hello? I could have guessed that. Something more original.
Namaste,
I think I... Is that?
It's
M-A-S-T.
M-A-M-A-S-T.
Okay, so I'll save this on the desktop of my virtual machine. That's running on Hyper-V. You can see it down the bottom there. And I have added it to System Center, where I've made my own cloud. So this is all on-premise. This is running in the SQL Server Performance Lab in Redmond. This is my virtual machine. That's my cloud. Now, I've installed some agents onto that VM. Sorry, onto that Hyper-V host. And that's presented this cloud here. You can see that was the name of the cloud in System Center. And inside the cloud is my virtual machine. On my cloud, I can configure the replication. So here I'm saying use the storage account, and I can replicate every 30 seconds, every 5 minutes, or every 15 minutes. Now, some of you at least know a bit about SAP. How often does data change on an SAP application server? Hardly at all. The database server changes, but you would use the native database replication mechanism for that. Okay, just from a time perspective, I'll kick off the failover. Now, down the bottom here is a test failover. What that does, actually, I'll start the failover, then I'll tell you what it does. Okay, so what's happening now is it's moving that VM, which it has been synchronizing every X period. So it's sort of like, those of you who know databases, it's like log shipping for virtual machines. It's been synchronizing. Now what it's doing is it's taking the last changed data, sending that up to Azure. Then it's going to orchestrate and sequence the startup of the virtual machine in Azure, probably in about 4 to 5 minutes from now. Now, I mentioned before that before I did this, there was a test failover. What that does is it allows me to do a failover of all my SAP infrastructure into a network bubble that's disconnected from my production landscape. So I can do an online DR drill. So during that DR drill, my DR capability is not compromised, because what is actually happening is we copy your whole SAP infrastructure into an isolated bubble. So your DR capability is preserved during your DR test. If at some point during your DR test you really lost your production data center, you would just go back and do a regular failover. The test failover is actually a copy. Now, we'll come back to this at the end of the session. Just to let you know that on my blog, running SAP applications on Microsoft platform, all of us who are involved in the porting, we all blog on this blog site. Some of you might have read it. It's actually, strangely, one of the more popular MSDN blogs. We didn't think it would be. SAP is a bit of a niche topic. But if you want a white paper that I've written on how to do this for a whole SAP landscape, what I'm showing you is just a VM. That's easy. To do a whole SAP landscape with your database, with your SAP ASCS and your app servers and your things like T-Rex and Live Cache, I cover this in this white paper here. If you have any questions or comments, let me know. My colleague from the Azure Site Recovery team, he will be doing a talk tomorrow. The technology I did the white paper on works with Hyper-V. He will tell you about the technology we have that works with physical servers, Hyper-V, and VMware. Tomorrow. I'm not sure the time, sorry. Okay. We will come back to DR when we check the failover. Increasing data center capacity. We have a large oil company doing this right now because they don't want to invest more in their on-premise data center and they are out of space. So what they're doing is moving all their dev and QA and sandbox systems off their on-premise and into Azure. Training environments, I think I covered this. So training is a really good use case. It's very easy to reset your training environment after you've run your classes, because you can just restore your virtual machine and database. And I mentioned below about historical systems that you need to keep for compliance reasons. So, non-production systems on Azure. This is, for most customers, a simple decision. When they look at the costing, and we actually have a team here in India, they're called the Pete team, and these people can come and do a TCO analysis for you. I can't do that because I have no idea how much we charge for Azure, VMs and storage. But they can come and assess your SAP landscape. Some of them are former SAP consultants. They are familiar with SAP and SAP topics. So from a cost point of view, this is a no-brainer. There's no hosting, there's no internal IT organization that can host at the cost that Azure can. And yeah, a lot of customers doing this. Almost, I would say, the default. So this is what that scenario looks like. Over here, you have your production SAP infrastructure, and over here, you have your non-production. So does anyone have a question about what is the change management tool that SAP has? Very good. I would argue the best change management tool of any application or development platform anywhere. So, based on our feedback, quick comment is keep your transport directory, so DirTrans, for those of you who know a bit about SAP, should be over where your development system is. If any of you have any concerns, etc., about latency, we've had customers who've done extensive testing and there's no problem. Remember, SAP is a very old application, and while the creation of an SAP transport, the CO and data file, is a little bit sensitive, SAP have built in a huge amount of retry logic into the importing of transports. So even if there was a network blip, that's not a big deal. So production on Azure. Today, customers have no hesitation at deploying development and QA. There are some customers that require, for example, it may surprise you to know, but Windows SQL platform has a larger share of police, military, defense, intelligence. For example, in Singapore, there are some customers where their SAP system is top secret. I can't tell you who, and some of them I don't even really know who they are, but their SAP system is categorized as top secret by the government agency. I've never been allowed to log into them. They don't have OSS connections and they're isolated from internet. But the security features in SQL Server are good enough to meet a lot of the governments around Asia requirements for top secret. Singapore, we seem to have a large share. Maybe that's because I'm based there. I don't know. But the security features we have for protecting at rest and protecting your database are able to satisfy most customers who don't have a regulatory prohibitor to public cloud. So if any of your organization want to know about what we do to harden and secure on Azure platform, so, I mean, things like database encryption, backup encryption, SSL communication between your app server and your DB server. All of this we have white papers and information we can share with you. So this is what that kind of landscape would look like. You have your development and test and your production all running on Azure, and your end users connected inside your own data center. One common scenario we've found with the customers who've moved their production systems to Azure is they tend to be global companies. So who knows the company Zespri? Nobody knows Zespri? Kiwi Fruit. So Zespri is the Kiwi Fruit production and marketing company. So they have offices all over the world. The majority of their business is all export. I think it's about 90% export. And they have offices in all around Asia, in Antwerp for the port that feeds the whole of Europe and North America. So their appetite for public cloud, these kind of organizations is usually pretty, they're pretty keen on this because a lot of their users are not in one particular geography. Any questions on production on Azure? Question. Okay, good question. So just remember that SAP on Azure today is IaaS, and with IaaS, you own the operating system, the database, the application patches. You own and control all of this. So there's no added complexity. One small point I mentioned about where you keep your DIR trans. Those of you who are familiar with SAP will know what your EPS directory is. You might want to keep your EPS directory local to reduce disk I/O. So disaster recovery. Why don't we see how our failover is going? Okay, it's finished. So what it's doing is it's saying it's wanting for me to commit the failover. What I could do is change the recovery point. So remember I said that every 15 minutes I was replicating my virtual machine. Say there was something bad happened in my landscape 2.5 hours ago. I can roll back, actually not that far with a 15 minute, but say it happened 45 minutes ago. I can choose this one here. I can choose that image. But I won't. What I will do is I'll take the latest and I will commit. You can see what it's saying here is commit waiting. And that is doing, those of you who are familiar with System Center know that everything in System Center is a job. So I can click on here and see how long our planned failover took. And I can't read that. It took 5 minutes. 1 minute to do some prep, just to check the status of the object in Azure. It took about 5 minutes to send the last records across, sync it all up, and then prompt for the commit. So to fail over an SAP application server into Azure is something measured in minutes. Your RPO and RTO you can deliver with a tool like Azure Site Recovery is really amazing. Now, someone else here might be able to answer how much it costs for Azure Site Recovery, I seem to remember something like $20 a month per VM, or I'm the wrong person to ask about pricing and costs. So if we have time, we'll log into that virtual machine and check. So I mentioned before KPMG, they have their production system on Hyper-V. They are actually doing their DR onto Azure. So they the entire landscape, there's only one part of it that is on-premise, and that's just production. DR is sitting here on Azure. Now, we've only got a few minutes left, and I want to leave some time for questions. But this is a common question I get from folks like yourself. The SAP guys here, who have done a little bit familiar with SAP, you'll know the homogeneous system copy process. There are a number of ways. You can deploy the standard gallery images, but I tend not to recommend this. What I'd recommend is that you create your own template. Now, what you must do, if you follow my OSS notes and blogs, the first thing you should do is get your gallery image and remove Internet Explorer. For SAP, and I would argue any other line of business system, remove Internet Explorer. For some reason, there still seem to be a percentage of the population that like to check their Hotmail on the production SAP server. So this is a really, really bad idea. If you want to know how to do it, there is a note I've written. This one here, 2055981. This gives you the commands on how to remove Internet Explorer. And I would recommend that you build a gallery image that is hardened, has unnecessary services disabled, and has Internet Explorer removed. Probably some of my colleagues have shown you how you can upload your own template into the Azure portal, and every time you provision a VM, you provision your template. Then you would do a simple SAP homogeneous system copy, something you're all familiar with. This slide here, we have the Azure Migration Accelerator, so it's not restricted to Hyper-V. This will work on physical VMware Hyper-V. But I do not recommend this. If you're moving to Azure, use this as a chance to upgrade to the latest operating system and the latest database. That's what I've seen 99% of customers out there who have moved to Azure. They have not done the third option. Okay, we're a bit behind time. Pricing, I can't help you too much on this. Please look at the calculator and talk to my colleagues in the sales organization. I'm a product guy. I'll finish with Zespri, the kiwifruit company you can see there. They run in US West data center. So this person here, onloading, that process you see there with the barcode scanner, that keyword goes to SAP. So the latency they have with ExpressRoute, they use the AT&T Global Connect. So when they offload in Antwerp or Japan, they also do a barcode scan as well, because batch Anybody who's in food industry knows about batch and controlling batches in case you have some outbreak of Ebola or something. The latency, those of you who know a bit about this, is guys who scan with guns, they don't like to go scan, wait, 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 wait. That will, your staff will come and murder the IT department if that happens. The latency is very acceptable. So time is up in 20 seconds. I wanted to leave some time for questions, and if anyone wants a more detailed, can we just get the mic?
Yeah, my question is, presently we have a production network in Unix platform. SAP is running in Unix. If I choose Azure, and I would like my DR to be moved only to Azure, and I'll continue to keep my production on-premises in Unix.
Very, very difficult to do because of a thing called, I think, do you know what Indian order is? So, Unix platforms are big Indian. In English, we say 35. In Hindi, do you say the biggest number first? If you say 35 in Hindi, is it 35? Or is it 5? In German, it's 5 and 30. In Hindi, you say 35. So, Unix platforms are big Indian. All cloud platforms, Amazon, Microsoft, it's all Intel, and Intel is little Indian, so it's very difficult to sync your database. So generally that doesn't work because the byte order is reversed.
Continuing to the same question, say for example if I keep my production again in local, and if I try and move my development only to the Azure, and my production is still running in Unix platform, but Azure will have that development. Will that possible, or I need to move?
It is possible. There are people doing it. You know, as a former Unix guy, I mean, I made a fortune out of Unix customers. But my, you know, the rest of the world has finished with Unix. There are two countries in the world where Unix is still accepted, Korea and India. You know, in all honesty, SAP are going to pull the plug on Unix. You should know that. SAP has an Intel strategy. So, sorry, I'm over time. I don't want to take up the next speaker's time, but if anybody's got any questions, I'll be down the back or over here. Thank you.
There's just another one important thing that we need to tell you. In fact, a couple, yes, but we will give a round of applause to Cameron, right? My speaking shouldn't stop that.
Thank you.
Your feedback is very important to us. So do download the app and feedback. If you're not able to do that, you can do it on the web as well. But do give us feedback for this session, for all the sessions that you've done from morning. This will continue to be the data track, right? So tomorrow we have another 5 amazing sessions. Hope to see all of you back here. In the same room, there's going to be something called as Azure Night, right? So it's an overnight hack where there are about capacity for 150, 200 people. If you're interested, you'll have to register. I think the registrations, I mean, it's on a first-come, first-served basis, and the registration desk is outside where you collected your registration tags from. All right, and the next session, right, because Azure Night is here, we'll have to start really quickly. Can you have a quick 5-minute tea break and come back here, please? Thank you so much.